In today's show, we're going to learn how to move a file share up to SharePoint Online using PowerShell. Even cooler, we're going to do it with the metadata. So who created the file, when was it created, and when was it modified, all moved to the cloud in one single script. But first, here's our intro. Hi, my name is Shane Young with Bold Zebras. Those guys. In today's show, it's all about file shares to SharePoint Online using PowerShell. This has been a very common request that I've gotten over the last few months, and so I finally sat down for the last like 2 weeks, worked on this video, came up with a really cool script, and so today I'm going to teach you how to do it, and then at the end we're going to look at one of the PowerShell premium scripts that's available for you to kind of automate all of this in a magical fashion. Very cool, very exciting. Let's just jump right in. All right, let's switch over to my desktop and get a lay of the land. So the first thing I want to do is show you that over here, here is my SharePoint Online tenant. I've just created a document library called FileShare. It's blank. I added some columns to the view just because that's some of the metadata we're going to move over and I want to be able to easily see it. So cool there. We've also got a FileShare here. And so you can see the path is //blah/demo. And I've just got three files in there with different modified dates, create dates, and different owners as well. So we can kind of iterate through all of that in the process, right? Because your file shares are like this. So let's minimize that. And so finally, let's just jump into PowerShell. So the first thing we need to do is we need to connect to our SharePoint Online. And to do that, we're going to use the patterns and practices PowerShell commandlets. And to confirm what version we have, we'll grab this line right here. And you can see that I am using the 2.16.17.06.1 version of the Patterns and Practices PowerShell commandlets. If you don't have the commandlets already installed, no problem. There's a video for that. It'll be down in the description. And you'll be able to do it. Also, you notice when I did the connect, I did -credential 0365. That's using one of the techniques where those credentials are stored in the Windows Credential Manager. That just keeps me from typing in that long username and password all the time. There's also a video on that. It shows you the different ways to handle passwords in PowerShell. As a guy who gets in and out about 1,000 times a day, it's been a very handy way for me. I don't have to cut and paste that password as much anymore. I just haven't used the script there. So anyway, that gets us in. That gets us patterns and practices PowerShell so we can do what we want to do. And so the first thing we need to do here is we're going to do a get child item. And then we'll space, and then we will grab our folder or our file share path here, paste it in. And so you can see that get child item, right? It's the same thing as dir in your DOS days. Just goes and gets all those files for us. We can see all the metadata, everything is there. You can also use get child item to iterate through your files here. And so, for example, I'm going to grab the expenses.pdf. So that would get just one file. And that's actually pretty handy for us as we kind of learn what's going on here. So I'm going to hit up, home, and I'm just going to set my cal variable to get child item and that specific item. And if we type in $cal here, you can see that one item is stored in there. Cool? Cool. So let's clear the screen. And what you want to do then is we're going to do a select star. And so if you're not familiar with select star, that gets all of the properties that have values and returns them so we can look at it in one fell swoop. So I did this in the very beginning because I needed to figure out where is the metadata that I want to push up to online, right? So you can see things like here's the full name of the file, all right? So that's in the full name property. Here's the creation time in UTC. Here's the last write time or last access time. I don't want that. I want the last write time in UTC. Right, that's going to give us those properties so we can push those up to SharePoint Online and get those set out there. So very helpful. And the reason that I'm using the UTC version is because when you upload, you do add PNP file to SharePoint Online here in a couple minutes, it's expecting UTC. Thankfully, it's just already stored there so you don't have to worry about doing any conversions. You use that, everything will work itself out with your time zones. Now, the one thing that's not in this list of attributes is who created the file, right? Who is the file owner? And that is something I do want to get pushed to SharePoint Online. So to get that, what you need to do is you do $cal get access control dot owner, and owner doesn't tap complete. Very annoying, not gonna overthink it, it just doesn't. And so you can see that desktop 3Q blah, 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 Shane is who owns that file. You can also see that Shane was too lazy to rename his PC, and so that's why I have a weird name like that. It happens. All right. So let's clear a screen. But that's cool, right? So now we know where we can get the owner. We know we're going to get the last modified time and the creation time. And just to make the those last two a little more clear, what I can do here is, right, I can do creation time UTC. So there's that. And then we had, what was it, last edit time? Last write time. Oh, but we wanted the UTC version. So we'll type in U there. So there you go. And then, of course, we just did it, but we'll do it again. Get access control. So those are the three pieces of metadata that I want to push to SharePoint Online. To do that, what we're going to do is we're going to use a commandlet. Actually, we'll clear a screen first. We're going to use a commandlet called add PMP file. No. Like so. And then for that, we're going to do path. And so for this, we could give it the actual path to the file, or it's smart enough if I give it cal, right? Which we've set the one file in there. So pass that up. And then it's like, well, where do you want to put it? Well, I'm going to put it in a folder. And we're going to put that in the file share folder, right? And we know that that is the name of this folder over here, right there. Okay? No worry. We're going to make it easier. But right now, that's kind of where I got all the information. So we'll hit enter. We'll wait a couple seconds. We'll go back over here and we'll do a refresh. Boom, expenses.pdf has been uploaded to SharePoint Online. Now, right now though, the modified is set to a few seconds ago, because I just modified it, modified by the administrator. It was created, once again, right now, and then mod administrator for me. So all the default values it took based on who I was connected to the site collection as, and then just create modified date gets set as it is. All right. Well, that's fun and all, but that's not what I promised you. So let's hit up. And so what we want to look at is you can use the dash values option. And then we're going to just create a little array here. And we're going to say, you know what? The modified actually is going to equal what? $cal last write time UTC. And we'll close our little squirrely braces, squirrely, curly, whatever you want to call them. We'll hit enter, wait a second, boom, just like that. We'll go over here and do a refresh. And what do we got now? Look, it was modified on April 20th because that's what the file's modified date was. Success, we've been able to change and lie to SharePoint when we pushed a file up there. Very handy. Now you will notice though, when we ran this add PMP file, that it just overwrote the previous copy, right? It didn't prompt, it didn't ask. That is one of the scary things about add PMP file. It's not gonna ask you, it's not gonna validate. So if you need to make sure the file doesn't exist, you're gonna need to write some of that into your own script, because add PMP file just writes right over the top. Doesn't care, doesn't think about it, doesn't even worry, doesn't bother you with that detail. It just goes. So keep an eye on that. All right, let's hit our up arrow again. And so we've done last UTC time. Now we wanna do another one. So you put a semicolon in there. I was like, is that a colon or a semicolon? I had to think for a second. It's a semicolon. Put a semicolon in there. And then now what we're going to do is we're going to do created equals, you probably guessed already, right? But $cal and what was that? It was creation time in UTC format. Now, one of the things that's a little tricky here is created and modified, right? All of these values, they are case sensitive. So if created is always going to be with a capital C, but if you create your own columns and you have lowercase letters, then you got to be careful. So let's hit enter here and see what happens. I bet you can guess what happens. Go over here, do a refresh. Was 714, now it is 624. And April 20th is still over here. Awesome possum. So now we're able to manipulate the timestamps as we push files up there. Now, the next thing I want to change, though, is who was the file created by? And if you're like, well, you know, what is that, right? It's real easy to just get into this game of trial and error to try and figure out how to specify that column. But what the easier thing to do is if you go over here to Library Settings, and then we scroll down here and we click on Created By, up here in the browser, you're going to see that field equals author. So over there on our metadata side, we're not going to call it created by or anything crafty like that. We're going to call it author, and we're going to make sure we make it a capital A. So let's try that out. So we'll go over here. Notice I said, let's try it out. I know it's going to fail. But that's all right. We're going to see why. Dollar sign author equals cal dot get access control dot owner, right? That's what we saw worked earlier. No problem. We're going to hit enter. Womp, womp, womp. It doesn't work. This is one of those things I spent a long time trying to figure out. Why doesn't that work? I tried it in different formats, different ways. I just couldn't work through the math on why it didn't work. And what it turns out is that actually the author field doesn't want text. It doesn't want the name. It wants the ID of the user. So I know that the Shane user is 52. So if we do author equals 52, we'll switch over to our browser and we'll refresh. And we're actually gonna see that, wait a minute, it still says administrator. So apparently what I showed you didn't work. Well, you're right, it didn't work. So let's jump over here to clear screen, hit up twice. And so what happens is you cannot set the author or the created by without also setting the modified field, unfortunately. So what you have to do is you type in editor equals 52 also. We'll hit enter. And then after a moment, we'll switch back over here. We'll do a refresh. And so now you can see that it was modified by Shane and created by Shane. Woohoo! So we can set those values. So let's hit up real quick, talk about it for a second. So you cannot set author without setting editor, but you can have them be different values. So for example, if I want to make Pradeep the editor, I can set it to 17 because I know that's his code. And so there you go, see Pradeep. You can also, it is possible if you want to, you could delete the author field. So you can set the editor without changing the author. So just little gotchas, little things that go on the learning curve that I wanted to kind of call out for you. So what you're probably really saying is, all right, that's all awesome, but how in the heck do I figure out that Shane is 52, Pradeep is 17? That's a valid question. So let's clear screen one more time. And so what you can do here is you do a get PMP user and you hit enter. Ooh, there you go, lots of reading. But what you'll find out is you scroll through here enough, and so there's Shane. And so you can see that one of the fields ID is 52. There's my email, you know, there's my login name, all of those fun things that you're looking for about this user. Now, unfortunately, right, and I guess we could do real quick. So if we do get user 52, so that gets you just Shane's. Unfortunately, though, you cannot say get PMP user Shane at SPE 73, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't work. Get PMP user wants that ID. So I struggled a little bit on how to figure out how to do this, and I actually tweeted about it. And my good buddy Erwin, one of the creators of the PMP stuff, he's one of the lead architects, he's a really smart guy. He sent me over some PowerShell to quickly go from my login name there to get that ID in a way that I could use it. So I was very kind to him. You know, once again, he's very smart. He's very good looking. His Swedish is better than mine, probably because he's from Sweden, but you know, whatever. So let's clear the screen off and let's look at his little chunk of code real quick. All right, so I'll paste this in and we'll hit enter there. As you can see there, it says get PMP user where object dollar sign underscore. So iterate through all of them where the login name matches Shane and then select the ID. So boom, ID is 52. So what I might do is then I could set that to, you know, a variable again. So we'll call it pig, right? Call myself pig, who knows? All right, and so then what I really need is dollar sign pig dot ID. That would be 52. So if we do some ups right here, back to our script, we could say, all right, instead of that, we'll do dollar sign pig dot ID, hit enter, go back over here and do a refresh. And there you go, modified Shane, created by Shane. You know, one way was the hard-coded, one was using a variable. So that's it. That gives us all the pieces of the puzzle that we need in order to continue with this. So let's take this, let's minimize PowerShell, and let's look at what this would look like in action. We will delete this guy out. All right, we don't want any fake data. Boom, empty folder. And so actually I'm gonna switch over here to the PowerShell ISE to make this a little easier to talk about. And so this is the magical script. This is why you've watched the last 15 or 20 minutes of this video, was to get this little script, this little gem. And if don't worry about having to type all this in. I will make a, if you look down below, there's a link to download this for free. So you can just download that and then you cut and paste it in your environment and kind of tweak it as need be. But here you can see, what are we doing? So we're just gonna say, get child item. and then desktop demo, right? So there's our file share. And we're going to pipe that output over to for each object. So for every file in the file share, we're going to iterate through. And we're going to say $fileOwner equals the current file get access control owner. Cool, we've done that before. File owner now, what we need to do is we're going to do a substring file owner index of blah, blah, blah. So we didn't talk about this yet, but what this is going to do is this is going to get us to the point where we hack off the desktop, blah, 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 right? Let's just show you what I mean. $cal.getAccessControl.owner. So that comes in the format of that. And so what we have to do is we have to trim off that. And so to do that, what happens is we do $cal getAccessControlOwner. We set that to a variable. In this case, we'll call it $cat. I don't know. All right, so we set that in there, and then we'll say $cat or trimmed cat. I am totally making this up as we go along. I was not going to do this. Equals $cat dot substring. And then what we want for the substring is we're going to do $cat.index of like so. So what that says is return the value of the first backslash. So we know that's like, you know, 12 characters in or whatever. And then what we're gonna do is say plus one, because I don't want that slash. And we'll close that out and we'll do that. And then we'll say $trimmedCat. So now $trimmedCat equals Shane. I can't believe I did that without screwing it up. So that's really important for us. And if strings and stuff like that, if you're like, what? Substring who? Don't worry. As you probably guessed, I have a video down in the comments also that will walk you through how to do string manipulation so you can learn to do things like that. Because when you're trying to automate something like copying from a file share, there's lots of that type of task you have to do where you have to clean up URLs, change URLs, UNC paths, file names, things like that. So anyway, that's how right here in this line we went from the file's current owner to the short version or just the name portion that we need. So then we're going to use Erwin's script, right? Get user ID equals get PMP user, pipe that over to where object login name matches file owner. So in this case, Shane, and then select the ID because we just need that one little piece of it. And then finally, with all that said and done, there's the money script, right? Add PMP file, path, the current file, full name is folder file share. So if you have, if your document library is not named file share, probably not, you can you change that. And then values, author equals user ID, editor, user ID, dot ID. Created is creation time, and then modified is last access time again. So pretty cool, right? Let's just hit enter to make sure it works. Or go, I guess enter is not. Run would have been the right word to say. 1, 2, 3 files. We'll go over here, we'll do a refresh. And so what you're gonna notice is that the modified by on these two files is Shane, and the modified by on this one's administrator. Like, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. Because if we go back over to demo, we'll see that actually Chewy, my dog, is the owner of that particular file. 101 reasons everyone loves Shane. It's probably all about feeding him and letting him sleep more. But anyway, Chewy was terminated after he created the file. He didn't do a good job, so had to go. And so he doesn't exist in my Active Directory or my Azure Active Directory, so he's not one of my SharePoint Online users. So when I ran the add piece over here, and it's like, hey, you know, I pass it essentially ID of nothing. Add PMP file, smart enough, it just moved on. It just automatically used the current logged in username. So if you wanted, you could create some logic in here that says, hey, if the script doesn't, you know, if the user is not valid, then use this other default user. Definitely a very good idea, but that requires some more scripting and stuff. But this gives you the magic that I promised you, right? This little line, all this code right here takes all the files from that file share, puts them up there and takes their metadata. Pretty awesome. Cool. All right. Now, what you're probably saying though is, wait a minute, what about folders? What about if I have errors in there? What about if I want to do some other types of logic? Those are all valid questions. And I tried, and I went and wrote all that stuff. And what it turned out to be, though, was this little script, right, and it's 10 lines, ended up becoming a different PowerShell function. So square screen off. And so I created a PowerShell function called addbz file share to SPO. Pause. All right, so I made that video about a week ago while addbz file share SPO was in testing. And through the course of testing, realized, A, there was a couple bugs. Fixed those, don't worry. But I also realized there's about 30 more features I wanted to add. So I've added a whole bunch of more features. So we're just gonna jump in here, kind of steal the video and show you off the new version. All right, so I have the module installed. And so what I wanna do is you're gonna type in addbz file share to SPO. And it's actually a bad name because it says what file share would you like to copy, but now I've updated the script so not only does it do file shares, but it also do any folder you point it at. So no longer a requirement that it be a file share. But in this case, we can give it what file share would you like to copy to. I'm going to grab this more complicated file share, right? It's got folders, it's got files with different names, some special characters like ampersands, and a, what else does it have? And it has a file that is larger than 250 megs. It turns out that addpnp file, during our testing, we found out had a couple of issues. One of them is it doesn't handle files that are over 250 megs. So this PowerShell module can't do it either, but it skips those files for you and flags them as warnings in the log files. And then also we found out that if there's an ampersand, even though an ampersand is a valid file system character and it's valid in SharePoint Online, it is not valid going through the addbz file share to SPO or addpnp file either. So we had to capture that. So when those show up, you can either choose to skip those files or rename those files. So, all right. So here we go, let's paste in here. It's asking me what share would you like? Someone paste in our share. Then it's like, well, where do you want to create the log files? Logging is a big part of this. If you just hit enter, you'll take the default of copy logs. What SharePoint document library would you like to copy the files to? One of the hardest parts of the whole thing, quite frankly. So I'm going to grab this file share here, or this document library. You'll notice that I'm taking it in this form. What I've done is I've pretty much written error checking that will skip over no matter what form you put it in. It figures out what you really meant. So hit enter. Then it says, hey, if the account's missing, right? So in the video that was last week that you just finished watching 3 seconds ago, and there, you know, we had to account for if it was Chewy who we fired because he barks too much. We move it up to SharePoint Online, we need to give it either a default user. So in this case, I created a user and his ID is 53. And we talked about in the previous video how you use getPNP user to find that ID, but 53 is my user. Yours will be something different more than likely, so don't think 53 is the right answer for you. If you don't know or you don't want to mess with that, leave it blank, no problem. And then here's the whole thing about ampersands, right? Ampersands are not supported by addpnp file. So either skip them or deal with them. I am going to say, let's, we'll go ahead and upload those. So we'll say you. We'll hit enter. And so that is it, right? My lovely little script there, it starts prompting you. It says, hey, wait a minute. You're not connected to PNP online. You know, what are you going to do? So it says, just run this line to get yourself connected to the right place. Well, very handy. And then we'll use our credentials. 0365, right? That was from a previous video, how to use that setup. But connect PNP online, so we get connected. Then we'll hit our up arrow, we'll add to the file share, we'll copy all this again. So copy, paste there. We'll take the default log file location, and we'll copy out the SharePoint URL, like so. And we'll do 53 again. And we will say we want to upload those files. So we hit enter, and just like that, we are off to the races uploading all those files. You can see that we've added a percentage copied thing, so we're 1 of 16 here. So this is going to iterate through. And so here we got a warning, right? This is just warning us that the file Chewy owned this file called expenses PDF, and it's saying it's going to upload that with a default user. So we also see this a little harder to read on the video, but error, skipping the file camtasia.txt because it's too large. So that's one that was over 250 megs. We do the check ahead of time so you don't have to wait on 250 megs to upload to get the error. And I think the rest of the files, I think there's one more Chewy file that's gonna skip. You'll also notice, like over here on my share, right? So the, this file was 101 reasons everyone loves Shane and hates Todd with ampersand. So the ampersand got changed to the word and in all capital letters, so that way the file could push it up there. All right. So now it's done. It tells you, hey, here's the log file. Here's your warning file. And you can see that 15 files were copied. Now you notice the progress bar said 16 files, but because we skipped the one file, we go ahead and update it and say, hey, we only uploaded 15 files. So pretty cool little utility I wrote there that replaces the thousands of dollars tools that are out there. Now, when I set out and wrote this originally, I thought I was just gonna be able to share it, but it turns out I've got about 3 weeks into this guy at this point. And it's about, I forget the exact number, it's 400 some odd lines of PowerShell. So this particular module that I've created is not available for free download. It is available for purchase though. And so the link down below is there. It's the price will vary depending on, you know, how well it sells, quite frankly. No, I'm just kidding. The price is $99. And with that, what you'll get is you get the module, right? It's been code signed, all that. So it's a proper module. You install that, you can run it. But the nice thing is because it is PowerShell, you have complete access to it. So if you want to see how I'm doing all this, right? You wanted those pieces of code for one of your own scripts. Hey, you can steal it out of there, right? Because it's all in there already. The other nice thing about it is it comes with all the bug fixes and updates for the next 6 months. So the SharePoint Online, we know, changes a lot. So from 6 months at least after you purchase it, you'll get any updates. I'll email those to you, say, hey, the module's been updated to accommodate this new feature, this new functionality. Those are all available to you. Also, it's fully supported, so if you do find a bug, hit me up, and I'm happy to get those corrected for you and take care of it. So, I know it's not perfect. You probably were hoping this one was going to be for free, but, you know, unfortunately, my kids and Chewy, the dog that barks too much, they need to get food. And so, since Daddy spent 3 weeks of billable time working on it, I got to kind of recoup that. So, apologize, but it is what it is. So, you know, also, I guess the last thing I mentioned, speaking of billable time, is if you get the script and you're like, hey, I want some help implementing this, whether you want to do new enhancements, new functionality, or you just need someone to come in and run it and kind of help you through your deployment, I am available through the old Bold Zebras for that as well. So, awesome, awesome. Well, I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned everything you needed, right? Everything you needed, all the pieces are out there in the first video that's all available. This is just, you know, if you want to kind of have it automated for you. Here it is. Hit me up on Twitter at Shane's Cows. Leave me a comment down below. Subscribe. Always a big fan of my subscribers. Or, you know, if we want to work together, we can do something through Bold Zebra. So thanks. Have a great day. Me again. Hey, just a reminder, if you want to subscribe, click on my face over here. Or if you want to work together or just need a friend, hit me up over here. Or if really what you wanted was more PowerShell videos, it's probably it. They are over here. All right, thanks. See ya. Somebody stop the recording.